This recording, Massachusetts 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much." But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. "I was born in South Boston in 1977, I think right after the time of busing. That was a time when there were not a lot of people in South Boston who were not from here. It was a very family-oriented town, and everybody had a strong accent in which they didn't pronounce their I's. So that was very normal to me growing up. I grew up in a single-family home raised by my mother, who worked a lot of jobs to support us. And I went to college here at Boston University with a very diverse crowd of people. I then took 2 years off. I traveled around the place. I worked in Mexico, and I bartended here and there. Then I went to grad school in Indiana. I went to Indiana University, Bloomington, for 2 years to get my master's in speech therapy. I am now a speech therapist working in the Lynn Public Schools, which is a city right outside of Boston. I have a special spot for my Southie accent, which comes out here and there when I'm hanging out with my old Southie crew or when I've had a couple cocktails. However, I think that when I went to Indiana University, and maybe even a little bit before that when I was working in a touristy section of Mexico, I just got really frustrated with the stigma that I feel like the South Boston accent brought on. I think a lot of people give you a bit of a stereotype with the accent. People love to make fun of it. People constantly want you to tell them that you parked your car and have a yard, and you know, and they just think it's great, whereas we just kind of think it's our normal speech, not anything too funny about it for us. But I guess I really just got sick of people making fun of the accent, and so I think I did a bit of code switching, and you know, I developed more of a standard American accent, and That is what I generally use, although, like I said, I switch back and forth.